We do give you a warm welcome tonight to your evening service in the Gospel. If you're visiting with us, we do give you a warm welcome in the Saviour's name. Our own minister's on holiday, but again we're glad to have Dr. William McCrae and his good wife along with us. We enjoyed our brother's ministry this morning, and we pray that the Lord will give him that help and that liberty that he needs as he ministers the word this evening. We're also glad to see Uncle Fred and his wife back with us again. We do appreciate their presence, and it's good to see them in the meeting this morning. So to one and all, we do give you a welcome in the Saviour's name. Do remember all the restrictions that are in place. I'll not go through them in detail. We're familiar with them, but we ask you just to follow the guidance of the stewards and the committee men that lead, even just in the exit from the building, social distancing, hand sanitisation, etc, etc. Do remember, as you leave the services tonight, the offering baskets will be at each door, both in the main hall as you come in, and the two doors here at each side. The offering for the church, normal offering, and then there will be baskets there, they're clearly marked for the Missionary Council offering. And we pray that you will give as the Lord has prospered you, and that you will give to these aspects of the work of God. Do remember Tuesday night. We're back to the normal night of Tuesday. Used to be Wednesday, but we've changed from last Tuesday night to a Tuesday night once again, the normal night for the prayer meeting. It will be held over in the church hall, and this Tuesday night it will be a deputation meeting for the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church, and the Reverend David Smith will be here to speak and to bring that presentation. And there will be a special missionary offering lifted for that work. So do please remember that. We encourage you to come, and we encourage you to meet with God's people around the throne of grace in prayer. Next Lord's Day, the service is 11:30. And 7 p.m. The preacher at both services is Mr. Jonathan Storey, third year student for the ministry. And again, before the evening service, up in the youth room there, up on the upper floor, the prayer meeting from 6:20 to 6:45. Do come and do attend those meetings, please. Again, we do remember those that are unwell in the congregation. We mentioned them this morning, those that have got home recently from hospital, and there's some still recovering from operations that they had a while ago. And remember our sister Mary, as she's going in and out every day for the treatment for her own illness. So do remember that, and remember them in your own private prayers during the week at home. I'm not going to read the letter in full again that we read out from the Government and Morals Committee this morning, but just to encourage you to join in that season of prayer on Saturday morning from 10 a.m. To 12 noon. It's open to all members of all congregations. The way it works is that you need to register your name and address and your church, and to do that, Mr. Smiley has put that appropriate link on the church WhatsApp site. So please join with us. Take time. That's what we need to do in these days, to take time and take time to pray, and do join with those of like precious faith about the issues that were raised in that letter. We do welcome you as well, as I said tonight. We do give another warm welcome to Dr. McCrae. We're glad that he was able to join us. We appreciated his ministry this morning, and we trust that he knows the help of God tonight again, as he brings the gospel to us. So I'll just hand the rest of the meeting over to him, and let him go as he feels he wants to. Okay, brother.
Thank you, brother, and it's certainly good to be back again. We pray that God will bless our meeting together as we gather round the Word of God, that we might hear the voice of God speaking to each and every one of our hearts. We're going to sing the opening hymn. It is 224. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb. We remain seated whilst we sing, and let us worship God together as we sing the words of this lovely old hymn. Everyone join in. We're going to stand for prayer, and I know these things are difficult, but Brother Greenfield's going to pray for where he is, and he's going to seek God's face in prayer and lead us to the throne of grace. So we'll stand together, please, and our brother's going to lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. Amen.
Our gracious God and our loving and eternal Father in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently again tonight in thy holy presence.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, with which we have been singing. We thank you, Lord, that there is power in Jesus' blood to wash us white as snow, flows from Calvary's mountain with blessings in its flow. And we thank you, Lord, tonight for each one by now in thy presence, who can say, yes, I've been to Jesus.
Amen.
For the cleansing power. And I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I am fully trusting in His grace this hour.
Hallelujah.
I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, tonight that we come before thy throne of heavenly grace. And thou hast bidden us to come boldly to the throne of heavenly grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And Lord, we come before thy throne of grace for another gospel service. We thank you, Lord, for this meeting this evening, for another opportunity given to men and women and young people to hear the word of God We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy servant. We pray that the hand of God would be upon him mightily. O God, as he would sing and preach thy word, he might know that fresh anointing of the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst take thy precious word and write that word upon some poor soul's heart. Lord, we thank thee that men and women, the Bible says, Peter says, they are born not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst bless thy word, the good seed of thy word, and may it spring forth unto eternal life in some dear soul's heart tonight. Lord, whether they are in the meeting or listening as the meeting would go over the media, we pray, Lord, that thy hand would be upon it. And O God, that through the preaching of thy word, that men and women, boys and girls, young people may come to the Savior. Lord, what we pray for our service tonight here in Ballygowan, we pray for every one of our sister congregations, from the largest to the smallest, the churches at home, the churches abroad.
Yeah.
We ask thee, Lord, too, for every other church or assembly or mission hall tonight, for the word of God is faithfully proclaimed. O God, in these peculiar times in which we are living, we pray, Lord, that the word of God might prevail, and that there may be many who will turn and seek the Lord and call upon him while he is near. Lord, we do pray for our land and these days. We thank you, Lord, even for this time of prayer again called by our presbytery, and we pray, Lord, that as the people of God would seek thy face and call upon thy name. Lord, we pray that I would answer prayer. I would stem the awful tide of sin and wickedness and iniquity in our land. And Lord, we pray that there be a great turning away from the things of this world and a turning to Christ. Lord, we pray that even in these days, Lord, strange times as they are, but Lord, we thank thee that God is still on the throne.
Hallelujah.
We thank thee tonight that thou art still in the soul-saving business. We thank thee, Lord, that our God is able to intervene and to move by his Spirit's power. And we ask thee, Lord, that even right across this land of ours, there be a fresh moving of the Spirit of God. Lord, turn the hearts and lives of men and women back to thee, we pray. We ask thee again, Lord, as thou hast bidden us in thy word to pray for those that are in authority, that we might have a quiet and a peaceable life. We pray for them, Lord, thy hand would be upon the situation, even in our land in these days. And we ask thee again, Lord, for those who need thy touch, bodily, physically, Lord, that you'll be with them. Again, Lord, we remember all who have been bereaved of loved ones. And Lord, we do remember Her Gracious Majesty the Queen and the loss of her dear husband. And pray for the family circle, Lord, that they might know even thy peace and thy presence in these days. Lord, for all who have been bereft of loved ones, grant unto them the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of happiness, and give unto them beauty for ashes. And Lord, we pray now that you will be with us as we continue on in thy presence. Bless thy servant as he ministers thy word. For we ask all these things in the Savior's name and for God's eternal glory.
Amen. 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 You may be seated. You know, when you're used to accordion, something comes natural to you. But unfortunately, my last accordion has changed, so I've had to go to this one. But nevertheless, Lord, undertake for us.
Around me many, they're building all their homes of beauty and wealth. But what of the home, grand as heaven? Tell me, where will you live after death? Are you ready for that home in heaven? Will you live there? Life soul. Will you look to the beauty of sin and live with Christ evermore? Are you ready for His coming? Are your sins all washed in the blood? And are you sure, friend of God, great salvation? Will you that heavenly home? Thank God I'm ready, for my home is heaven, and I'll live there when this old life is o'er. And I will move to the beautiful city with Christ evermore. Yes, I've moved to the city and live with Christ evermore. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord. When the call of the Spirit is lost, and you hurry along in your pleasure, my counted the cost. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now that the line you will cross, have you counted the cost? What a question tonight. Have you counted the cost? You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the moon, for the glitter of sin and the things it may win. Have you counted cost? Have you counted the cost? Where your soul be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you will cross, have you counted the cost?
I want us to sing another hymn together, please, at this time. It's another lovely old gospel hymn. Life at best, it's very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf. It's like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time, hymn 230, if you've got your own hymn book. It is just simply Be in Time. We'll keep our seats once again for the singing of this hymn. Stand for a word of prayer, please, before we read the word of God. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, realize that the letter killeth, it's only the Spirit, Thy Spirit that giveth life. And I pray that by the power of the Holy Ghost that Thou will take of Thy word tonight, and that Thou will take it from the page that is before us and write it in the hearts of those that are gathered in this meeting, or those who are listening in. We pray that there might be a turning unto Thyself tonight, that men and women will not play the fool concerning their immortal soul, but that they might be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. O God, help us, preacher, tonight to simply preach Christ. Point men and women to a Savior, the one who alone can cleanse them from their sin and make them ready for heaven. We thank Thee that Jesus is the only way. Oh, that men and women will come by faith to Jesus tonight. And to this end, O God, I earnestly pray, fill me with the Holy Ghost and cleanse me in the precious blood. Circle the meeting in the blood tonight. Ward off every attack of hell. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of John's Gospel in chapter 8. 8th chapter. of the book of John's Gospel. I want you to follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word. Verse number 1. John 8, verse 1. Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he saith unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. No man laid hand on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Whither I go, ye cannot come. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the precious reading of his infallible truth. For his name's sake. Amen. What a privilege these people had to sit under the ministry of the Savior. We talk of a Charles Haddon Spurgeon, they call him the Prince of Preachers, and so he was mighty and mightily used of God. But there's never a man speak like this man. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one, the Bible says, in verse number 2, that all the people came unto him and he sat down and he taught them. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one that was breaking the bread of life to these people and expounding unto them the scriptures. And God was giving to this company of people the greatest privilege that they could ever have, and that was to hear not only the word of God, but to hear he who is the word himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he spoke about the issues which are eternal. But a sad reality was this, with all the privilege and opportunity that God gave these people, they wasted the opportunity. And friend, that's also true for many a man and woman that has come to a gospel meeting. God has given many precious souls down the years and and the preaching of the gospel across this province of ours, and men and women have heard the old-fashioned gospel of redeeming grace, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. Thank God, on the third day, Jesus arose out of the grave. Death could not hold Him. Thank God He paid the debt that I could never pay. But He paid it for me. He died as my substitute. He took my place as a sinner. And there, the Lord Jesus, He became sin who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And that's why all the glory of salvation goes to Christ, friend. Because from beginning to end, salvation is of the Lord. It's not in the church, it's not in baptism, it's not in rituals, it's in Christ and in Christ alone. Now some of those that came to hear the Lord Jesus were known as the scribes and Pharisees. They were the religious leaders of that day, and they were supposed to be the experts in matters relating to the law of God. They knew about the prophecies. They knew about the Messiah that was to come. And in actual fact, they were looking for this Messiah to come. But with all of that privilege and with all of that knowledge, still weren't saved. I remember we men used to come to my services for many years. Matt used to, on a Saturday night, go to the local pub where he beside where he lived, and he used to go to there, and he used to sit there and drink, and he used to tell the people, you know, he says, you know, you need to be saved. And yet Matt had heard the gospel over and over again, telling them they need to be saved, but Matt wasn't himself. I remember speaking to Matt concerning his soul, and he turned to me and he said, you know, Mr. McRae, I know a lady who lives beside me, and you know, she goes to a prayer meeting that's not far from me, and she carries a Bible nearly as big as herself. The biggest hypocrite in the country. I said, Matt, tell me this. When you stand before God, tell me, you think He'll answer for her? Or what about you? He just bowed his head. But thank God one day, God revealed to Matt that he was a sinner, lost, undone, and they called upon the Lord to save him. But here was people that knew. They knew the Word, they knew the law. And yet the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and this religious leadership of that day deteriorated because the Lord Jesus Christ refused to acknowledge their importance. And you know, as far as they were concerned, the Savior was threatening their influence, their power, their prestige among the people. They didn't care about men and women getting right with God. They were concerned about what they thought about them. And how that they looked in society, and people would bow down before them. Over and over again, these religious leaders, friend, tried to turn on the Lord Jesus Christ. They tried to entrap the Savior. They tried to find fault in Him, as we find in chapter 8. The Bible tells us that as the Lord Jesus was sitting there teaching the people, it says the scribes and the Pharisees, verse number 3, they brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery, and they set her right down in the midst of them, and then they turned to the Lord Jesus and they said to Him, Master or Teacher, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law says, now what about you? What have you got to say? You ask the question, were these men concerned about the woman who was taken in adultery? Were they concerned about her sin? Were they concerned about her salvation, the salvation of her soul? No, the Bible says in verse number 6, they said this to Jesus, tempting Him that they might accuse Him. They weren't interested in the woman. They weren't interested in her sin, because let me tell you, if this woman was taken in adultery, then it takes two. Where was the man? Why did they not bring him? But they weren't concerned. You know, there are many men and women that try to find fault in the Word of God, and they try to take little bits out of the Word of God, and they try to trip the preacher. Well, what does it mean here? The preacher hasn't all the answers. One day, thank God, I will, because I'll understand it better by and by. What I don't know now, Jesus said, thou shalt know hereafter. And all the crooked places will be made straight and the rough places will be made plain. And thank God I'll understand it all when I get home. But this I do know, my friends. These hypocrites weren't concerned about the salvation of the woman's soul. They weren't even concerned about her at all. All they were concerned about was trying to accuse Jesus, to belittle the Son of God. You know, this is not the first time the Savior's met people and spoke to them. In chapter 7, the Bible tells us the Feast of the Tabernacles was at hand. And in verse number 14 of chapter 7, it says that Jesus, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught them. The Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ taught them in verse number 30, it says, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour is not yet come. And many of the people believed on him. Thank God, irrespective of all this animosity and hatred against the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus was still saving souls. Men and women believed in him. I'll tell you this, my friend. Quite often the old devil oversteps himself, doesn't he? And God uses even simple, very simple things through the means of bringing people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. You say, well, many believe in him. Well, what about the Pharisees? Look at verse 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. They wanted to silence him. And friend, we are in danger in these days. And we've got to be very, very careful what's happening across this world today and in this United Kingdom. Because I can tell you, some of the laws that they're passing in their nation, they're trying to silence the preachers. And take away our voice. Take away from us the liberty and freedom that our forefathers fought for. To give us the liberty to stand and preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And tell men and women that sin is sin in the sight of God. And Jesus is the Savior from sin. There's an answer in the blood of Christ. And in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. Yes, concerning the Savior, it says in verse 43 of chapter 7, there was a division among the people because of him. There still is. There still is to this day, friend. Because I can tell you this, many of a family and many of a homes divided concerning Jesus Christ, because there's wives that are going to heaven and husbands that are going to hell, or vice versa. There's parents that are going to heaven and children going to hell. Our children going to heaven and parents going to hell. Division concerning Christ. And then it says in chapter 8 that the people went home. Every man, verse 53 of chapter 7, every man went on to his own house, but Jesus had no house. He went to the Mount of Olives. And in the morning time, it says early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down, and he taught them. Notice what it says there. It says, he came. Yes, he came again to him and to them. And once again, they were given a blessed opportunity to hear the words of the Savior. But these old religious Pharisees, they tried to accuse him. But the Lord silenced them, didn't he? Not by what he said. Because in actual fact, whenever they tried to bring the Savior into this and they made their accusations against this woman, The Lord Jesus simply said this, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And then he just stooped down and started making the ground. Wasn't the multiplicity of his words? And then one by one, they start to go away. Notice how it happened here. Because it tells us here, in verse number 5, they said, "Moses in the law commanded us." In other words, they had knowledge of the law of God. Knowledge. Maybe there's somebody here tonight and you have knowledge of God's word. Maybe from your earliest day in Sunday school, you could quote the scriptures. For you know the word of God, for as a child you were brought up and trained and taught the word of God. They knew the law of God. And then notice something else. Verse number 9. When the Lord Jesus Christ had spoken those words to them, and then he stooped down, it says, "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience." Not only did they hear the Savior, not only did they know the Word and the law of God, but the Bible says their own conscience convicted them. And one by one, they just went away. They melted like snow on a sunny day. You know, we find here, what an opportunity to hear Christ. But friend, that's not enough. Look at verse 19. The Lord Jesus said unto them, when they said unto him, "Where is thy Father?" And Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me, nor my Father. You're not mine." They knew the law, but they didn't know him. I asked you tonight, do you know the Lord? Have you a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? Or have you just a head knowledge? But I tell you this, my friend, head knowledge will never take you to heaven. You need to have a heart experience of the Lord Jesus Christ, a living, lasting relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing him as your Lord and as your Savior. Not about him, knowing him. I know whom I have believed. Are you trusting in him? And then Jesus, in reply, said this, verse 21. Jesus again said unto them, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. And whither ye go, or whither I go, ye can't come." Very quickly tonight, notice a solemn statement here which the Savior made to these people. "I go my way." Now it is true that the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to the fact that he was going to the cross, that he was going to shed his precious blood, he was leaving them, he was going to die in the sinner's place as a substitute for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, he was going. And he was going to the cross because that's why he came. He came to die upon the cross of Calvary. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem because he came to die in the sinner's place. And to pay the price of sin, because the wages of sin is death. And Jesus died for us. But he's saying something more, friend. Jesus says, "I go my way. I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14 to his disciples in the upper room? He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way. But then Proverbs says this, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And friend, the reality was this. These people didn't want the Lord's way. They didn't want Him. They were rejecting Him who was the way. And I want to tell you, sinner, if you're not saved and if you're still in your sin tonight, if you're walking the broad road that goes to hell, I want to tell you, you are rejecting the only one who is the way to heaven. There's not a multitude of ways to heaven. Jesus says, I'm the way. And it's His way that matters. You see, it's God's heaven. And you not decide to just take it your way. Well, I'll go my way. I remember a man coming to my home one night. And he was a policeman in the midst of the situation of our province. And there was a situation going on. And he came into my home. And these two police officers. And one gentleman, a very earnest gentleman, a Roman Catholic police officer. And we started to talk about spiritual things. And I told him about Jesus Christ being the only way to heaven. He said this to me. He said, you know, Mr. McRae, he went over to the door. And he said, you can imagine us wanting to get to the middle part there of the door, up there at the top. And he said, here's you going up this side of the door, and you go along, and you get to the middle. But he said, here's me, and I'm going up this side, and I go to the middle too. I said, friend, just a wee second. I'm not talking about my way. I'm talking about God's way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said this, no man, I don't care who you are tonight, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. By Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And then I can tell you this, being connected with this congregation, we thank God for that. But if that's what you're allowing to take you to heaven, sad to say you'll be in hell. For the church can't save you. But Jesus can. For He came to seek and to save that was just lost. And it's not until you first of all humble yourself before God and you acknowledge before God, Lord, I'm a sinner. Now I know men and women don't like to hear that, because the natural thing, well, you know, I'm just as good as anybody else. How many people have said that to you, Brother Greenfield? Have said it to me. You know, I'm just as good as anybody else. And the answer is yes, you are. You're dead right. You know what God says about everybody else? No difference. All have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. So just like everybody else, you're a sinner. And friend, until you first realize that you're a sinner, you will never, ever be saved. You've got to realize your need of God's salvation. And they were rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the only way. And Jesus says, I'm going my way. Notice it says, He said unto them again. He had warned them before. Tell me, how many times have you heard the gospel? And many times have you heard a faithful preacher warning you about your need of God's salvation, and except you repent, you'll perish. Maybe you know it all, but you're still not saved. Here's a solemn statement. This is the Savior speaking, friend. He says, I'm going my way. And then he says, look at verse, in that verse again, here's a serious searching, because he said, I go my way, and ye shall seek me. Ye shall seek me. In other words, there will come a time when man will seek the Lord. They will cry out unto the Lord. They will cry, Lord! Lord, come and give me an opportunity! You seek me. But then notice when they're seeking him. When he's gone away. When he's gone away. That's too late. The book of Proverbs chapter 1 tells us, I've called. This is God speaking. I have called you, but you have refused. I stretched out my hand, but no man regarded. In other words, you just pushed it away. You didn't want it. You set it not my counsel. In other words, you cast aside the warnings and the counsel of God. And then God says this, ye shall seek me, but you'll not find me. You see, alas, they wait until it's too late. And there comes a time, a man goes out into God's eternity, friend, and goes to hell. Just remember the Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, down in hell. He cried, Father Abram, have mercy upon me, friend. But listen, mercy's over. And hell's come. Did he call? Yes, he did. Did he cry? Yes, he did. Did he seek God and call out to God, oh God, have mercy upon me? Yes, he did. Tell me who was telling that story. Jesus. The Lord Jesus. And they cried, have mercy upon me. And then he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. What was the answer, friend? Nay. No. Oh God! Send them to my father's house! I have five brethren, and they're going to hell as well. Tell them not to come. Tell them not to come. Message from hell tonight. Don't come. The message to heaven, from heaven tonight, is come. Come and welcome to Jesus. The message from hell, don't come here, for I'm tormented in this flame. What was the answer, friend? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What does that mean, friend? God's giving you the opportunity through this little vessel, taking up God's precious word. And you're still in the day of opportunity and the day of grace. Hear me. Hear the voice of God when he's calling, friend, because there's a sincere searching. Isaiah chapter 55 says, seek ye the Lord. But listen to this. When? When you say, while he may be found. Because friend, there come a day that all you're seeking, he not be found.
Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Esau, he wept bitterly. But he found no place of repentance. The serious searching. But here's the sorrowful separation for him. What's this mean? Jesus says, I'm leaving. Yes, I've been with you. I've spoken. I brought my word. I taught my word to you. I've called you. You've refused. He says, I'm leaving. And then there'll come a day you'll seek me. But he says this. You die in your sin. You die in your sin. Oh, you know, how many preachers have gone, taken their congregations to the side of the grave, and they've dropped the clay down in the part of the coffin, and they've said, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return, in that sure and certain hope of a glorious resurrection. And the person, friend, died without Christ. I want to tell you this. The preacher will not be able to change the destiny of one soul. As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. Men and women, think of this. This is the Savior speaking. Ye shall die in your sin. In your sin. A couple of weeks ago, my sister-in-law, Anne's sister Mary, the only one that's left with Anne of the family, used to be six of them and now there's just two. Mary lives out in Australia, Perth. Her grandson of 22 years of age was coming home on the motorbike. He's nearly home. Nearly home. He was killed. Yesterday they were burying the Duke of Edinburgh. Yesterday in Australia they were burying a 22-year-old man, young lad. But friend, they buried him on the day he was to be married. And the young girl he was to marry stood not in the front of a church to be joined to her husband. But death divided them. But thank God he was saved. Thank God he was saved. Tell me, will you die in your sin? I know of nothing more serious, friend. I don't care what man has got to say. I don't care about what man will say about you whenever you're lying there in the coffin. It won't change your destiny. If you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, then Jesus said, you'll die in your sin. And where Christ is the end of the verse. What does that mean? What does it mean to die in your sin? Look at verse 21. He says, where I go, you can't come. You can't come. Oh, what a tragedy. A stern sentence. God says, no entrance. Now, no matter what the preacher says to the gravesite, if you die in your sin, friend, you'll be in hell. And the preacher will never take you to heaven. I want to ask you, what about you? Shut out eternally from God. No hope. Forever lost in the blackness of darkness. Forever in the fire of a lost sinner's hell. My book tells me there's a heaven for the saved. That book tells me there's a hell for the lost. And I'm looking into your face and you into mine. Can I tell you this tonight? You're on the same journey as I am. From time to eternity. And we don't know the day or the hour. Tell me. Where are you going? Where's destination? Because remember this, as I close. Those in heaven will never want back. And those lost in hell will never get back. Forever. Eternity. Oh, men and women, I beg you in God's name, consider eternity. Eternity in heaven with Christ. Or eternity in hell without him. What will it be? There's only one way to hell. Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to repent of your sin, friend. Humble yourself before God and acknowledge, Lord, I'm a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. But you died for sinners. That means you died for me. And Lord Jesus, I rest my soul upon your finished work. For you paid it all for me. Be my Savior. And as many as receive him, to them give you the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Will you come? Will you call upon him? Seek him, friend, while he may be found. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thou knowest every heart, every man, every woman, every young person in this meeting. Thou knowest all about us. You know those are saved, and you know those are backslidden, you know those are lost. Oh God, I pray tonight, wherever the need is, meet precious souls at the point of their need tonight. As their heads are bowed and their eyes are closed, friend, the meeting's over with a word of prayer. I'm not rushing away. If you want to speak to me about the Savior, please wait. Speak to me. I'd gladly open the Word of God and show you from God's Word God's way of salvation. But please don't miss him. Don't leave it too late. Heavenly Father, hear our cry tonight. Bring souls to Jesus Christ thy Son and save them for heaven. in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Anxious soul tonight, don't go away without Christ. Make the greatest decision of your life. Come as a sinner to Jesus. Thank you for having us. May God bless you, your minister and his wife, and the congregation. Amen.